Is what the Conservatives proposing even possible? Let's ask Mark Elliott. He's a reader in public law at the University of Cambridge. He joins me in the studio. Mark, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, you heard what Rachel had to say there. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think she's right that there is a lot of uncertainty and misunderstanding amongst the public about the role and influence of the European Court of Human Rights. I think really there are two fundamental questions that we need to try to address. First of all, to what extent do we want judges to have the right to rule on these kinds of things? And to what extent do we want elected politicians in Parliament to make these kinds of judgments? And then secondly, to the extent that we do want judges to be involved, do we want them to be judges from the European Court of Human Rights, or would we rather have British judges making these kinds of decisions?
I guess the average layman, and I use the term layman deliberately, would say, our judges, our courts, end of story.
Yeah, and there's an obvious attraction, I think, to that. Some questions about rights are sort of culturally sensitive, and different countries will have different approaches that they want to take. There are some countries that have an entirely sort of self-contained human rights system. The United States would be an obvious example.
Is that working for them?
That's a question of perspective. I mean, we think
there's a wry smile on your face as I ask you that question.
Well, there are problems with the American system. I think the United States has a constitution that is about 200 years old. That there are certain things in it that look pretty outdated now, and so, for example, it's very hard to pass gun control laws in America because the Supreme Court has repeatedly held that the right to bear arms in the Constitution means that lawmakers in America can't make significant restrictions on the ownership of guns. So there are positives and negatives to that kind of system.
What are the concerns that the Tories have with it at the moment? Rachel was adamant, it's not only working, it's absolutely necessary.
I think that a lot of people would agree that we want to have some kind of involvement for courts in deciding people's basic rights. The concerns that the Conservative Party has are really, as we heard the Justice Secretary say, that the European Court of Human Rights over time has perhaps begun to apply the convention in ways that were not expected when it was signed 60, 70 years ago. But that's something that you tend to find in most human rights systems. In most countries that have a human rights text, you will find that the courts approach it as a kind of living instrument, and as cultural attitudes and social attitudes change, the courts will update the text by reading things into it or reading it in a different way. But that seems to be what they're taking exception to. They think that there's mission creep and that the court is taking things further than the original framers of the convention actually intended.
I'm fascinated to know the answer to this. You may not be able to answer. What do British courts make of the European Court of Human Rights? Do they resent it? Do they welcome it?
I think they have a sort of an odd relationship with it. There have been occasions where the European Court of Human Rights has got things wrong, and where they, for example, have misunderstood how we do things in this country.
Is it one that we'd know of?
Things to do with, for example, how trial by jury works, which isn't a familiar system in many continental countries. And so we've seen examples where the European Court has taken the view that our system is unfair, and it's turned out that that's been because there hasn't been a full appreciation of how our jury system works. But what happens really is that you get a kind of dialogue between our Supreme Court and the European Court of Human Rights. So there have been cases where the European Court has kind of called us out on something, and then in a subsequent case, our Supreme Court will have, if not refused to follow the European Court's ruling, it will have stepped back from it to some extent on the basis that the European Court hadn't fully understood how things work here. And so you have that kind of to-and-fro dialogue between the two courts.
We heard Sadiq Khan there, the Shadow Justice Secretary, saying that he actually thinks, you know, irrespective of whether the Tories want this or not, if they win the next general election, it wouldn't be legal.
Well, I think he's got a very good point. What the Conservatives have said is that they want to make judgments of the European Court of Human Rights merely advisory. In other words, we can listen to them and we can either implement them or ignore them as we wish. And the Conservative Party has suggested that they could do this by enacting British law to make those judgments advisory. And that's legally impossible. The European Convention on Human Rights explicitly says that the judgments of the European Court are legally binding on all of the countries that have signed the convention. The only way, therefore, that the judgments of the Court can be made advisory would be if the United Kingdom renegotiated its treaty obligations, which would require the agreement of all of the other dozens of countries that are parties to the convention.
I think of advisory bodies that used to be legally binding. The CAA, the Civil Aviation Authority, sport-wise, the ICC, International Cricket Council, they're toothless, they're referred to, once they lose their lawmaking abilities.
I think that one of the things that has made the Human Rights Act so strong, and stronger than some people expected or would have wanted, is that although our courts only have, in effect, advisory or declaratory powers when they find the law to be inconsistent with rights, standing behind our sort of slightly toothless courts, as you put it, there is the...
No, I didn't. I said other institutions have been described as toothless when they lose their ability to enforce.
Yeah, so standing behind our courts, which are toothless in that sense, is the European Court of Human Rights, which has these binding powers. And it's for that reason that a system like the Human Rights Act that doesn't give our courts American-style strike-down powers has proved to be so controversial but so strong because it's backed up by a European court that does have these very strong powers.
Mark, I've deliberately left this to the end. Do you agree with the Conservatives?
I think that if they want to make the argument they're making for a British system of human rights, that in itself is a perfectly defensible position. I think that what they've done, however, is to misrepresent the current legal position, and that diminishes the proposals.
OK, Mark, thanks for your time. Really good to talk to you. That's Mark Elliott, reader in public law at the University of Cambridge.